Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom. Amar B'Shem Ben Lakish. Shalosh Pegimasayim. There are three. We're speaking extensively in our previous shir about a pegima, about a nick on the knife used for shechita. So he makes the following comment that in halacha we find the concept of pegimas in a number of areas. One is Pegimas Etzim the Pesach. We know the Torah says for Etzim Leisish Brubay, any broken bone. Here it says even the slightest Pegima is Aser. Pegimas Oizim a Bechar. We know the Torah teaches us that a Bechar of an animal, a kosher animal, is supposed to be given to the Kohen. And if it's an unblemished animal, the Kohen brings it as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Very similar to a carbon Shlamin. But if the animal has a blemish, the halacha is it's not brought as a carbon, the kohen could eat the animal wherever he lives. And pegimas mum bekotchin. We know that an animal that's a balmum cannot be brought as a carbon. And here we learn that an animal carbon that has a pegima is possible for a carbon. And as the Rishonim already point out, isn't pegimas oizim b'chor and pegimas mum bekotchin both categories of kabbonis that have a begima, so why are they listed separately? So Mepharshim say a very nice pshat. Begimas mum bekotchim creates a chumra. We had an animal, it was designated as a carbon, and it has this minor blemish, and now it cannot be brought as a carbon. Begimas oizim bechor creates a kula. What is the kula that's created? That till now this animal was allowed, you had to bring it as a carbon, and now you could eat it without bringing it as a carbon. So since they result in two opposite results, one is a kula, one is a chumra, that's why then listed separately. Rav Chisda also mentions, as we have been learning in our shiurim, begima sakin. A knife that has a begima cannot be used for shechita. V'idach, so ask the Gemara, it's an obvious thing that belongs on the list. So why didn't Rishim and Lakish included on the list, but Chulin like Kamari. We're talking about, he only mentioned things which were Kachim. A knife is not only used for Kachim. A knife obviously is used to shecht every animal that we want to eat. Finishes off the Gemara, the Chulin Begimiasam. What is considered the shear of a Begima that disqualifies the knife? Kedei Begimas Mizbeach. The same amount that would make a Mizbeach possible, because we learned the Masechta Zvachim, and then we're discussing the Masechta Bechairis as well, that the Mizbeach has to be without any nicks. The Kam Pegimas HaMizbeach. So now that we're using this as the shear, we need to know what is included, what is considered Pegimas HaMizbeach. And the Mefarshim say when we speak about Pegimas HaMizbeach, it's not only the Mizbeach alone that is not allowed to have a Pegima, but even the Kevesh that leads up to the Mizbeach is not allowed to have a Pegima. It says the Gemara Kedei Shetach Bot Tziporin. That if you pass your fingernail on it, it'll get caught. That already is considered a begima. Ask the Gemara, is that the shear? May say, there's another braisa that says, kam begimas hamizbeach. What is the shear of the begimas hamizbeach? Rav Shimon Yochai Omer Tefach. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Kazayis. And he was saying, it's a tzipayrin. It's a very different shear. It's much less. Answers the Gemara Lekasha. Ha besida, ha beavna. How is the mizbeach built? They took stones and they connected it with cement, like you build anything. So the Gemara is answering: the stones have a much higher, have a much stricter shear. There, it's tzipayrin, a fingernail getting caught. The cement is a smaller, is a more lenient shear, kezayis or tefach. Why is there a difference between the stone and the sid? So there are two approaches in the Rishonim to this question. One approach is a fairly practical approach. To get smooth stones, you could get. Cement, by definition, is never smooth. So that's why Chazal were more lenient by the cement than they were by the stone. Another approach, this is Rashi's approach, is the din that the stones can't have any crack, and the din that cement can't have any crack, are learned from two different psukim. The din on the stones is based on the pasuk Avonim Shleimos. So the Torah is strict Shleimus, they have to be pure. They have to be whole, completely whole. The din of the stones is learned from a word olaf. So it doesn't have that strong, strict shear. Therefore, the shear is kazayis tefach. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask that, so how did they get stones? Tysus already asks, how did they get stones for the Mizbeach? Is it possible to get such pure stones that they're so smooth that there wouldn't be a nick on them? So there are different approaches in the Rishonim how to deal with that question. Tysus says that they only use very small stones. And small stones, you could find smooth stones. Indeed, a large stone, it's hard to find. A small stone, you could use. That's one approach. Another approach that the Rishonim suggest, and this is a very big debate, we know that in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, they had the worm, the Shamir. And the Shamir, so they certainly, I should say this, could not have used metal to make anything smooth. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Like son of Alei and Barzel. You can't use metal to build the Mizbeach. But you're allowed to, some suggest you're allowed to use the Shamir. And they cut it smooth, perfectly. Others say you couldn't use the Shamir either. Because it had to be smooth from when you took it out of the ground. And there's a third approach. The Sfasemis doesn't agree with this. But there is an approach amongst the Mefarshim that only if the stone developed a nick after you took it out of the ground, that's a problem. But if you took a stone directly out of the ground and it isn't smooth, that isn't the problem. Because it's still shleimus. It's only if it developed a begima later is it not usable for the Mizbeach. Another question that the Mefarshim ask is that here we said that what is the shear on the knife? Could they begima some, the shears, could they begima, could they, if you pass your fingernail, you'll feel that it's not smooth. But if you recall in our previous shear, the Gemara mentioned different shiurim, shimsha, and maya, and your tongue, all of those shiurim. So how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So there are two very different approaches in the Rishonim to this. One approach in the Rishonim is that's actually machlokes. Yesterday the Gemara quoted one opinion that had shimsha and maya. Today the Gemara is saying a different shiur, a different opinion that says chigayr sepayrim. Others take the approach, and this is, it seems, the halachic approach, that the shear is really chigayrus sepayrin, that your fingernail feels it. The shiurim that we learned in yesterday's shear were lechumra, that they were super careful, that the slightest pegima, they would disqualify the knife, which is really also used to discuss a question that we mentioned in yesterday's shear. Yesterday we learned that the way you're supposed to check the knife is with your fingernail and with your flesh. And if you know Shaykhtim, they only use their fingernail. Why? Because since we're so careful with the slightest begima that it's not kosher, when is there a din that you have to do both tests? When you're only doing chigayrus sepayrin. But when you're doing a strict shear, even the slightest begima, then you don't have to use your flesh. Furthermore, the Paiskim used this Gemara to discuss interesting question. There's a question regarding the lulav. If the lulav has a split on top, is it still a kosher lulav? So the Taz says that the lulav is kosher as long as it has a split that's less than a tefach, and according to some achroinim, even if, as long as it's not mostly split. Why? They use al gemara. Because al gemara said if the shear by a lulav would also be such a serious shear, why isn't it mentioned? It must be. The lulav doesn't have that halacha. Although, everybody knows the famous Chaya Adam, that the Chaya Adam was makbid even on the smallest crack opening on a lulav. The world says pshat in the Chaya Adam because he's concerned that if it's going to have a small opening, it's ultimately going to open completely. Similarly, we know that the halacha is that tefillin have to be perfect square. They have to be a ribua. And the Mishnah Berura in the Bir Halacha discusses what happens, which happens over time, that ribua isn't so perfect. Are the tefillin kosher or not? And the Mishnah Berura in the Bir Halacha, again, using the svara of the Taz, that it's not mentioned in our Gemara, it seems that even if the ribua gets somewhat ruined, it's still kosher tefillin. The Mishnah Berura says this in the Bir Halacha. Of course, the Paiskim say, you have to always know that you're starting with a small box. If you're going to let it have a big, if it's not going to be rebuah by a big amount, so then you're not going to have it, it's not going to be at all anything. Rav Ozner And the Shas of Tshuva Shevet Alevi says that the shear is up to a millimeter. If the square is off, if you started with perfectly square tefillin, and you're off by less than a millimeter, the tefillin is still kasha l'chatchila. We learned in our previous shear that before the shaychet shechts, he's supposed to show the knife to the Talmud Chacham. Now Gemara begins to discuss this issue extensively. Omer Avuna Hay Tafcha, the Loisor Sakina Kame Chacham, this Talmud Chacham who doesn't show his knife to the Talmud Chacham before he shechts, Misham Tidon Lay. He's put into Chayim. So the Rishonim make a number of very important points. One point that the Rishonim make is that the Gemara speaks about a Tafcha, about a Shaychet who's a Tafcha. What's the definition of a Tafcha? A butcher. And they say that when is this halacha applicable? When the shaychet is also the butcher. So he has a vested interest. He has interest in this meat being kosher. So therefore we have to be super careful and have him have the knife checked by the rav. But as is the case in our world, that the shaychet himself is not the person who sells the meat. We actually typically would not allow that to happen. So he doesn't have any personal interest. So he's not the tafcha that the Gemara is speaking about. And therefore he could check his knife or have somebody else that doesn't have to be the Rav. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that if the Shaychet, which is also typically the case, the Rosh already says this, that typically the Shaychet doesn't use the knife that he uses the Shecht for any other purposes. So if the Shaychet puts that knife away, it was checked by the Rav, and he said it's fine, and he doesn't use the knife for any other purposes, he doesn't have to go to the Rav every time. And based on what we just explained, the minig is that we don't usually have the Shaychet go take the knife to the Rav before he shechts. The Shaychet himself checks, or if the Shaychet himself doesn't check, he have people designated, because he's a Talmud Chacham, or you have people in the slaughterhouse checking the knives. That's their job. We don't take it to the Rav every time. However, both the Shaul Shachuvus Anig Yontif and the Aruch HaShulchan say that if a Shaychet comes to town, who isn't part of it, in those days every town had their established communal Shaychetim, and a Shaychet comes from out of town, he should not start Shechting in the town before he shows his knife once to the Talmud Chacham and get his approval. So the Gemara says, Misham Tinalei, we put him to Chayrim. Why do we put him to Chayrim? Because he didn't show proper Kavod HaTorah, that he didn't show the knife to the Talmud Chacham. Rava takes a much stronger opinion. Mavrinalei, we remove him from his position. Machrizen Abisrei the Treifahi. We announce that the meat is Treif. Says the Gemara, V'loi Pigli. There's really no Machloikus. Kambish and Nimtza Sakina Yafa. If his knife is fine, so we only say that he should be put into Chayrim. Kam b'shloinim to Sakina Yafa, when his knife is not fine, so then we're much stricter, we say all the meat is treif. A number of points here as well. If we put him into Chayrim, so obviously nobody can have any connection with him, so he can't be a Shaykh because he's in Chayrim. So Mefarshim explain, a Chayrim, as we learned in Masechta Maakotin, is typically only for 30 days. Even if the Chayrim will expire, he can't go back to being a shaychet until he accepts upon himself to act appropriately. Furthermore, there's a very big machloikus. What does the Gemara mean, kam b'shloi nimtza sakina yafa? Some mefarshim explain that they saw that the knife that he used wasn't a good knife. Therefore, we have to be stricter. Others say, what will be the halacha if we don't have a knife? In other words, we don't have the knife, and we don't know what to do. How should we treat that shaychet? The Gemara is saying, shloi nimtza sakina. Even if we just didn't find his knife, we already have to be strict and consider all his meat treif. And actually, they answer a question with that approach. Because if we're concerned that if it is a case that the knife is indeed found to be no good, so why is the meat treif? The meat is a nevela. If you use a knife that's not good, the meat is a nevela, not a treif. So some say that many times in our Masechta, the word treif and nevela are used interchangeably. But others say, because it's not talking about a case that we know for sure that the knife wasn't good, we just don't have a knife, and therefore we can't say the meat is nevela, but we do treat it as treif. Ravina Amar, Hechad Eloi Nimtza Sakina Yofa V'masas Lai V'parta. Ravina is even stricter. He says, if the knife is found not to be a good knife, it's they wipe it with waste. Dafilo Oivik Achavim Nolam Mizdapin. We don't allow it to be sold to a guy. That means Ravina goes one step further. Ravina says as follows. Under all circumstances, even if the knife is great, we consider everything treif. When the knife is not good, we're even stricter that we don't even allow it to be sold to goy. Why are we so strict, according to Ravina? So that one is, pshat is because of a knas, that not only did you have the chutzpah of not showing your knife to the Talmid Chacham, but you actually used the knife that wasn't good, so you deserve to be punished that you can't sell it to the goyim. Furthermore, another pshat is, because if this person is so irresponsible, we have to be concerned that the meat is Eivim Menachai. And a goy, a Benoyach, is not allowed to eat Eivim Menachai either. The Beis Yosef has a sefer called Silas Achuvas Afkas Reichel, and he says that when we find that the knife is not good and we're considering the meat treif, it's not only the meat that we have in front of us. It's all meat that we know that he slaughtered. We have to consider treif. And he goes on to say the same is for the dishes and the pots and the pans. We have to consider everything treif and they have to be kasher. Hahu tafcha, says the Gemara, there was the shaykhit, the loy sara sakina kamei de rava, bar chinina. He refused to show his knife to rava bar chinina. Shamtei, he put him to cheirim, for avrei, and he took him away from his position, for achriz abisri the treifi. And they announced that the meat was treif. Iklamar Zutra of Ash Lagabei. So Rabbi Zutra of Ash came. Oma Laena Rabbi Bemelsa. Let's look in Laena Rabbona Bemelsa. Let's review his situation. Because by having taken him away from his position, we have a real issue. Because he lost his livelihood. And the Talabei Tafli. He has his family with small children and he has no income. Batke Rav Ashi Lasakine. So Rav Ashi reviewed his knife. The Nimtzis Yafa. And he saw that he had a nice knife, for achshrei. And he said that the knife is kosher. Omalei mazutra, for loy mechish ma'al asaba. Are you not concerned about Rabbi Bachinin's covet that he abused by not showing the knife? Omalei shlichusik avdinin. Rabbi Bachinin is the one that sent us to try to find him a way to get the jar back. And therefore, if we could see a way to get him his jar back, we should. What is the normal circumstances? If somebody didn't show his knife, how is he taken back? So the Mefarshim say, if he did it only once or twice, he has to accept upon himself in front of three people that he will not do so in the future. If he did it more regularly, he has to have a more serious tshuva. Actually, this is not the forum for this discussion, but just to mention this, this whole subject of what's known in halacha of being maver a shaykhit, of taking a shaykhit away from his position, is a very, very complicated area in halacha. And all the tshuvas for him, the Rechaim, Chasam Sofer, Noida B'Yehuda, this was a very common occurrence in Europe. Every little town had its own shaykhit. And there were always questions on the qualifications of the shaykhit, and people, there were rumors about the shaykhitim, and the question came up, what should you do when you have this question? It's interesting. The Divrei Chaim and the Chasam Sofer both say you have to take a little stronger position. Why? Because if the shaykhit is indeed not qualified to be a shaykhit, and he's shlechting meat that is treif, that's not kosher, and we're eating that meat, and we know macholos asuris are metamteim libay shaladam, we have to be very serious about not allowing him to stay on his position unless we're confident that he's qualified. On the other hand, the Divrei Chaim's son, the Divrei Yecheskel, says that anyone who's responsible for removing a shaykhit from his position, and he really didn't deserve to be removed, he used very serious words. He says that person is chayiv misa. So it's a very responsible position to be in. The Michtz Elazar in the Tshuvas says that there's a difference where he still is in the position, and removing somebody from a job that he already has, versus, let's say you had a person who was a shaykhit, and there were rumors about this individual. And he retired, he resigned from the shechita. and now he wants to come back. There we don't have a responsibility to take him back if there were questions about his capabilities. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Babahuna. Shein Telusha, the Tsuparan Telusha, a tooth that's not connected, or a fingernail that's not connected, Mutar Lushchba L'chatchila. You could use L'chatchila to shecht. Ask the Gemara, but have we not learned in our Mishnah, Chutz Mimagel Kotzva Magira, you can't use the sickle and the saw, the shinayim, and the teeth, the tzipayrin, and the ne'il, ne'shein chankin, because they cause the animal, they choke the animal, they don't slit the throat. So how do we reconcile this brisa with our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, shein ha'shein lo kasha, cha b'chad ha'b'tarti. If you just have one tooth, it's obviously a sharp tooth, and it's you have to keep on going back and forth to shecht, it's fine. If you have two teeth connected to a gum, obviously they're not in the animal's mouth, but you're going to have a space between the two teeth. So that space is like a begima, and that's why our Mishnah says you shouldn't use it. Tziparin at tziparin loikasha, habet lusha, if the fingernail is still attached, then you shouldn't use it. B'chaberis, if it's detached, you can use it. B'chaberis, you shouldn't. So Mepharshim asks, why don't the Gemara give the same teretz as it did by tziparin, as it did by shein? So I saw two answers to that question. One is that the wording of the Mishnah goes in that direction. Because let's look at the wording of the Mishnah that we just quoted. Hashinayim is Lashon Rabin, so it means two teeth. Tzipayrin is Lashon Yachid, so it means one tooth. Another pshat is, if all the cases in the Mishnah, if Tzipayrin were also talking about two nails, Hashinayim, so then the issue is not because they're chankin. The issue is because they have a begima. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says chankin? It must mean that in some of the cases, the chankin, not in all the cases. Continues the Mishnah. Hashaych the magel kotzer. A magel kotzer is a knife that is a serrated knife, but all of the edges are pointing in one direction. Not that they go in two directions, but they're all pointing in one direction. So if you shecht with such a knife, the derech halichasa, in the non-serrated direction, Beshamai Paisel and Beshel Machshir. Why do Beshamai say you can't shecht with it? So there's a Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, because even if you're not shechting in the side that's serrated, it's still not a smooth, sharp, and therefore you have to be concerned. That's one pshat. Another pshat, they're concerned that that indeed, if here you'll only shecht v'haylocha, not go back and forth, you're fine. But we're concerned that you may forget and go with halacha vah, and when you go with halacha vah, you have a real problem with pegimus, and even in that, there's a machlokes how to understand it. Doesn't mean that you're going to forget, or even you'll remember this time, but next time you may forget. Then hechlok shinah, but if you smooth it out, and you made it sharp, harei kasakin. So here, too, the Mepharshim asks, of course, if you smooth it out, and it's a sharp edge, so why shouldn't you be able to use it? So Mepharshim explained, because we would be concerned that if people see you using this instrument, they won't realize that you smooth out the edges, and they'll think that you're using something that's serrated, and make the mistake that you can use something with pegimus. Kamash Malam, we don't have to be concerned about that. Begins the Gemara, Amr Abchir Ba'aba, Amr Abi Yochanan. After Shechshira Beisil, even Beisil who takes this lenient approach, Lechshira El Latara Medei Nevela. As we've discussed, an animal that's not kosher, that's in the Vela, besides that you're not allowed to eat it, is also Metama. Av Bachila Sira. Beisil is not disagreeing with Beishamai. They're agreeing you're not allowed to eat the meat that's slaughtered with this knife. Just Beishamai, according to Reb Chia, according to Reb Yochanan, the meat is in the veil, that's Matama. Beisil says it's not Tomei, because we always are more lenient when it comes to Tomatar Shailas. And Rav Ashi wants to prove this point. Take an Amdiktoni Beishamai Paislim, or Beisil Machshirin. V'loi Tani, our Mishnah doesn't use the words Beishamai Oyser and Beisil Matirin. If Beisil held that not only is the meat not tamei, but it's even permissible to eat, the Mishnah should have used the word Beisil Matirim. And of course, as the Mepharshim explained, maybe the Mishnah used the other word to show us Beishamai's point. We know that we always follow the opinion of Beisil. Furthermore, we always know Koyach Dat Tera Adif, so the Mishnah should have made the point what Beisil holds. Ask the Gemara, but if we're saying that the machloikas of Beisham Beisil is limited to Tumah Tahara Shaila, not a Kasher Shaila. So why didn't the Mishnah be clearer? And there would be no question what they meant. And when the Mishnah uses the word Matirim, it doesn't only mean that it's mutter to be eat, that it's not Tameh, but according to Beisil, you're allowed to eat. So the machloikas we showed him how to learn this Gemara. Many Rishonim of the opinion is that Rav Yochanan is not retracting from his position. He's still holding the Beis Hillel's only makel as far as Tumah Tahara Shaila. Rav Ashi wanted to bring a raya from our Mishnah, so Gemara says your raya is not a raya. But Rav Yochanan didn't change his mind. Others say that actually because of what happened in the Gemara, Rav Yochanan actually changes his mind and indeed holds that according to Beis Hillel, not only is the meat tar, but the meat is permissible to be eaten. We get a taste in the coming sugya about shechita, about it, the anatomy of an animal. Then we won't have it for many dafim. We've learned many times, Baruch Hashem, already in our shiurim, that how is an animal slaughtered? An animal slaughtered with cutting the kana, which is the windpipe, and the veshit, or otherwise known as the trachea, and the veshit, which is the esophagus. Our Mishnah doesn't talk about the veshit at all. Furthermore, our Mishnah doesn't talk about how does the kana work. The kana goes from the lungs to your mouth. That's how you breathe. The Mishnah is not talking about how far down you go with the kana towards your lungs. Not your lungs, the animal's lungs. The Mishnah is talking about the kana up towards the mouth. Let's describe how the kana looks. So firstly, the kana is made out of tissue. It's made out of skin. And then it has tabos, rings, but most of the rings don't go around the entire circumference of the kana. Those are called the tabas ktanos. They cover most of the circumference, not all of the circumference. Then at the tip, again towards the mouth, you have the tabas gdoila, which does go around the entire animals, the entire kana. And on top of that, you have something known as the kaiva, the helmet, because it looks like a helmet on top of the kana. And the way the helmet looks is it actually tapers. It starts wide like the tabas gedoila and it gets narrower on the top. And on top of that, on the tip of the helmet, there's what's known as the chiti. The chiti, they look like wheat kernels. They're actually the vocal cords. And you could see you could see real pictures of all of this in the Sefer Temuni Chol. So, one more word of introduction. We've learned that one of the things that disqualifies shechita is hagroma. If you shecht the kana or the veshit not in the place where you're supposed to shecht it, then the shechita is not a valid shechita. So says the Mishnah, hashoichet metoicha tabas, if somebody shechts the tabas gedoila, the big ring around the kana, and you didn't move the knife outside of that. Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient, and he says as long as most of the tabas gedoila was slit, even if you went a little above the tabas gedoila, you'll be fine. Begins the Gemara. Rav Shmuel Darmer Tavaya Lok Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Rav and Shmuel say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Says the Gemara, "V'af Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, be even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda who takes this lenient position." As I explained when we learned the Mishnah, he's only speaking that you're shechting the tabas gedoila. Why? Because I described the tabas gedoila ha'olam akefes as kol hakana. It encircles the entire circumference of the kana. Avosha tabas, and again, this is the first pshat in Rashi. The other tabas, loy. Why aren't the other tabas not good? Because by the other tabas, since they don't encircle the entire circumference of the kana, so you can't shecht them, because you have to shecht something that encircles the entire kana. And as the Rishonim and Achronim explain this Gemara, there's concept, because at first glance, this Gemara is very difficult to understand. What is the basis for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's leniency in our Mishnah? That if you shechted most of the Tabas Gedoyla and then you went a little out of where you're supposed to be, you went slanting up, you're fine. Because obviously Rabbi Yosef's opinion, Rubik Kekula. So since you did most of the Shechita, fine. This is going to be a concept that's going to be recurring in this sugya. It's good. So then, if that's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, so then if you shech the Tabas Katana, so you shech whatever you have, but it's, as I've been saying, it encircles most of the circumference of the Kana. So why isn't that good? So B'chanan says, Al Gval de Gevart, it's a basic explanation in Hilchus Roif. He says, where do we say Rubik Kekula? We say Rubik Kekula where we have the entire amount we need, and Rubik Kekula says that even if you had Roiv, it's good enough. But in a case where you don't have a Roiv, then you can't say Rubik Kekula. Let me explain it in terms that we could understand better. What would be the halacha if you're making Kiddush, or you're drinking the Dal Kaisis Pesach by night? So the halacha is you don't have to drink the whole cup. You have to drink only Rubik Kekula. You have to drink most of the cup. So what will happen if you'll only fill up your cup with Roiv Kais? Have you made a proper Kiddush? Of course not. Because what does Rubik Kekula mean? Rubik Kekula means that I have the whole amount, and I drank Roiv. Or I'll give you another, even easier example to relate to. According to many Paiskim, somewhat of a controversial Shiloh, but according to many Paiskim, if you have 10 people in Shul, but 3 or 4 already davened, it's still considered a valid minyan that you could daven. So that means you only have 6 people or 7 people davening, and the other people are standing there. So all B, you only have 6 people, you only have 7 people. Can you daven? Is that considered a minyan? Of course it's not considered a minyan. You have to have 6 out of 10, or 7 out of 10. You can't just daven if you have 6 people in the room, and you don't have anybody else in the room. Why? Because you have to revive from the kol. So now the two cases of our Gemara are very understandable. In the case of our Mishnah, you have the whole Tabas. Because the Tabas Gedoyla encircles the entire Kana. So says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you shechted most of the Tabas, even if you went out a little, we rely on Rubik Kekula. But when you have the Tabas Katana that doesn't encircle the Kana completely, so that's like the cup that doesn't have the whole, that isn't filled with wine, that you couldn't use it. Ask the Gemara, how could Rav Shmuel say this? For Tanya Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Hashoich B'Shat Tabas. The Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's opinion is that if you shech the Tabas Katana, even though they don't encircle the entire circumference, but if you shecht it outside of the proper place, it's psula. But now continues the Gemara, and we'll discuss this more later, that he said that even if you went outside of the Tabas Gedoyla, it's kshera. So now we have a problem. Rav and Shmuel are saying that they're following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said two halachas. One is the halacha that he said in our Mishnah, that if you shechted most of the Tabas Gedoyla, even though you went out a little, it's fine. And he also holds that if you shecht by the Tabas Katana, it's fine. Rav and Shmuel told us explicitly that if you shecht by the Tabas Katana, it's not good. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Tatikama. Indeed, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said two lenient halachas. Rav Shmuel Sfer Kavase B'chada, in the halach of our Mishnah, they agree with him, Upli Yile B'chada, and they disagree with him regarding the Tabas Katana. Says the Gemara, V'ha loy Amr Kamri, they said he never said it. Says the Gemara, Hoch Kamar, halacha Kamaisa B'Tabas Gedoyla. We agree with what he said about the Tabas Gedoyla, then halacha Kamaisa B'Shah Tabas. Says the Gemara, Kisolik Rav Zera. When Rav Zera came to Yisrael, Ochel Mugremes to Rav Shmuel. He ate from an animal that according to Rav and Shmuel will be considered a Mugremes. Omele, they asked him, Lav Ma'asrid Rav Shmuelat, don't you come from where Rav and Shmuel would Rabbanim? Omele, Man Amra. Who is the one that reported their opinion? Yosef Bechia. I don't trust Yosef Bechia. Yosef Bechia Mukula Magamar. His reporting of what people said isn't that reliable because he just listened to what everybody said. He didn't verify himself. Shamar of Yosef Ikbit. So Yosef said he was very offended. Amar, Anomi Kole Amar Gamrina? You're accusing me of an individual that doesn't verify what I'm saying. And not Rabbi Yehuda Gamrina. I am a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. The filu fake of the Gavri Goros. Rabbi Yehuda was so careful about saying Dover B'Shem Amrei that when he had a question, who did he hear something? He said, he included that when he taught that, the Shir. And the Gemara point makes the point. Dover B'Yehuda Amrei B'Yehuda. But Abba Sofak B'Shmei Derab. He was careful to say, because Rabbi Yehuda we know learned both by Rav and both by Shmuel. So sometimes he got confused what he learned by Rav and what he learned by Shmuel. Sofak, and he said it clearly to the Talmidim. I'm not sure if I heard this from Rav, Sofak B'Shmei the Shmuel, or if I heard this from Shmuel. Shlosh Matirnas B'chor, B'mokm Shem Mumcha. Which means as follows. We spoke at the beginning of our Shia today, that a B'chor that becomes a Balmum, you don't have to bring as a carbon. So we're going to learn extensively, a big portion of the Masechta, B'chairis, is to teach us what is a Mum, and you have to be a Mumcha to identify a B'chor as a Mum. Let's say you don't have a Mumcha. So they taught us that you could take it in front of three individuals who are not experts, and if they all agree that this animal is a Balmum, it's a Balmum. So you see how careful he was in repeating something properly. Says the Gemara, Rav Zeira Lesley, does Rav Zeira not hold of the Halacha? Noisn lav chumra ha-mokum sh'yotz misham v'chumra ha-mokum sh'holuch l'sham. In Bavel, they were mapped like Rav and Shmuel, because Rav and Shmuel were the Rabbanim in Bavel. He came to Tzisrael. So how did he disregard his previous minig? Because as the Ritva says, as long as you can't prove that the minig is a incorrect minig, every minig Yisrael must be followed. Answers the Gemara. Amar Baya, Hani Mili, Mibavel Abavel. If you're traveling from one city in Bavel to another city in Bavel, or you're traveling from Tzisrael to Tzisrael, or from one city in Etzisrael to another city in Etzisrael, Inam Metzisrael above, you have to follow your Menhagim. You have to go with the Chumrah. Either the Chumrah where you came from, the Chumrah you're going to. Abmi Bavel Etzisrael. But if you're traveling from Bavel to Etzisrael, Kiva Danan Kafina Lehu, since the people in Bavel are subservient to the people in Etzisrael, Avdinik Vasayu. We have to follow the meaning of Etzisrael. Why are we subservient to the people in Etzisrael? So there are many pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat is because the Nasi lived in Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is because of the Cheshivas of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is that in Chutz Laaretz, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin we learned, there is no smicha, not the smicha that we have, the real smicha, that only could be in Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is because we know in Eretz Yisrael is where the Sanhedrin sat, and all the entire Jewish calendar was over there. So even though, as we try to point out, in Dine Mamnis, Bavel was superior, but in the cause of all these areas of Halacha that I just identified, as Yisrael superior, if you go from Bavel to Yisrael, you follow the Minig at Yisrael, not vice versa. Rav Ashi, I'm a field having Bavel at Yisrael. Even if you're going from Bavel to Yisrael, there has to be one more condition. Hani Mili, Da'at Alachzer. If you're intending to go back to Bavel, so you can't give up your Minhagim from Bavel. However, Rav Zeira ain't data lachzer hava. He had no intention of going back to Bavel, and when you have no intention of going back, so then you assume the menhagim of the place that you are. So there's a very big machlokes rishonim how to understand this concept of ain't data lachzer. Some rishonim say you have to have two conditions. One condition is that you're going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and it has to be that you intend to remain in Eretz Yisrael. But what would be if you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel? Movid Allah, you're going from Etzisrael to Bavel, and you intend to remain in Bavel. So it's Ein Da'at Lachzer, but you went from Etzisrael to Bavel. Some Rishonim say you always follow Ein Da'at Lachzer, because now this is where you are. Other Rishonim say no, that if you're going from Etzisrael to Bavel, and even if you intend to remain in Bavel, but you're going from Etzisrael to Bavel, so you don't follow the Minig Bavel. However, a very famous tshuva from Ramosha discusses a couple that got married, and as, you know, we live in a world of kibbutz goliath. And let's say the wife comes from a family that has chumras that the husband doesn't have. Question comes up many times on Pesach. So is the wife allowed to give up her menhagim? So Rav Moshe says a beautiful svara. He says, even if we'll say that ain't that the lachzer is not enough, that's only because a person moves from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he can move back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. But marriage, hopefully, is not reversible. It shouldn't be reversible. And therefore, Moshe says, when a wife marries a husband, it's the highest level of Ein Dat Lachzer, and she accepts her husband's menhagim, l'kula l'chumra. Says the Gemara. Amalei, Abayi l'Rav Zeira, v'rabonin, da'asimachuz amri, mishmei d'Rav Nachman, megremes k'shera, that the megremes is kosher. So you see that even in Bavel, not everybody held the megremes is possible. Amalei, nahara pashtei. There are different, nahara pashtei means that there are different parts to the river. That's why Rashi explains. Here too, there are different menhagim, and every town had different menhagim. In fact, the Paiskim say that our Gemara is the Gemara that teaches us how we have to respect different menhagim. And there's a big shaila in the Paiskim, just to mention two questions that I saw. One question I saw the Paiskim is, let's say you have, which is very common in our world, one community that has different shuls. And every shul has different menhagim. Since every shul is considered a separate community, so you could have two shuls next door to each other, legitimately following different menhagim. Ramosh has an interesting shaila. You know, there's a very big question in halacha about putting on tefillin and chol hamoed. So Ramosh says that even though in Chutz Laaretz there were many communities that people put on tefillin and chol hamoed, in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag was not to put on tefillin and chol hamoed. Why? Because he says all the original people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, certainly in modern times, were people who didn't wear tefillin chol hamoed. Because who are the people? They were either Sfardim, or Chassidim, or Talmidei Agra. And all of those three groups don't wear tefillin chol hamoed. So now what happens if somebody makes Aliyah? And he comes from a place where they wear tefillin chol hamoed, and now he makes Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and they wear tefillin chol hamoed. What should he do with the tefillin? So Moshe first is not sure. Then he says, based on our Gemara, that we see that now in Eretz Yisrael, there are many people that live of European descent, and their minig in Europe, wherever they came from, was to wear tefillin chol hamoed. So since there's a legitimate population in Eretz Yisrael that wears tefillin now, even though they weren't the original settlers, again, there's questions if you daven in a shul, what to do, but he says you could put on tefillin chol hamoed without a bracha.